Peter Greenberg, good morning, Chicago time. Welcome to WGN. How are you?
And good morning right back to you.
Where do we find you now? I know you're not on your weekend travel. At least I don't think you are. Where are you today?
Today I'm in London.
Of course you are.
Of course I am.
Hey, Peter, what are you doing in London?
I'm here attending what they call the World Travel Market, about 25,000 ministers of tourism, heads of corporations, hotels, trains, airlines. They do this every year. Obviously, they didn't do it last year. This is the first big meeting of the global travel industry for 2021.
I had something else to ask you about, but tell us what the buzz is there. What is the general theme or topic?
Well, the buzz is, with very, very few exceptions, just about everybody's reporting they're at about 80% of their best times of 2019. So they're almost back. And they're hoping that by February or March of 2022, they'll be up to speed, at least in the leisure travel market, where they were back in 2019.
Wow. And what are they saying about travel restrictions when you do get to other countries? How coordinated are, or how soon will the COVID passport, the vaccination restrictions change?
Well, nothing's coordinated. That's the problem. No country's talking to another country. The European Union has a COVID pass, although not every country requires it.
Right.
France has their own.
Right.
But the good news is, as of a week from today, fully vaccinated foreigners can travel to the United States if they show proof of vaccination, and they're going to be coming. I have to tell you.
Yeah, keep going.
The bookings to the U.S. Are up 750%, and that starts a week from today.
Yeah. Which is why I called. So let's talk about that after I just ask you one other thing about the EU. A lot of our listeners traveled there. I just got back. I'm leading another group next year and a group the year after that. It's a shame that the EU is not more coordinated on this. And by the way, that French vaccine pass is garbage. It doesn't work. It's not functional.
But here's the thing. You don't need it. Just show your proof of vaccination and you're in. In London, by the way, no longer a member of the EU, I had just to show my proof of vaccination to come into the country, but within 2 days I had to get a test. So I did that at the airport, and now I'm free to go anywhere I want to go. And that's working. And people are behaving well, they're wearing their masks on public transportation, and life goes on.
25,000 people gathered for this convention, huh?
That is correct. And that's down from, of course, 2 years ago when it was close to 40,000. But the good news is they actually had the convention. And just about every country, every city in the world is represented here. It's a great opportunity to find out what's going on a global level.
Can I still get value traveling internationally, or has that been kind of knocked out?
Actually, the irony is there's great value now because of the fact that the foreigners are coming to the U.S. There's a lot of capacity here. So I've seen fares as low as $359 round-trip tickets from the U.S. to Ireland. That's in place now. That'll give you just one example of what we're talking about.
So then what does this mean? How is it that we finally decided to let the Europeans in? And why didn't we do it sooner? We've been able to travel there for a while.
Because it got down to the FDA approving which vaccines they were going to approve. They weren't very big on AstraZeneca. They weren't very big on the Soviet vaccine or the Chinese vaccine. Pressure was applied to the U.S. by the EU countries, including Boris Johnson here in the U.K., and they finally agreed to let them in. But there will be a testing regime as well once they get to the United States. So it's not just smooth sailing, but they're all coming.
Well, that sounds
now,
like... It sounds like what we do there. You have to test 48 hours before you go, or you may have to test when you get there. And we also had to test when we came back. I know that's not exactly the case for London, but it does seem to be reasonable to mandate that they test either right after they get here or before they come here, right?
Exactly. And, of course, our rules still apply. Before I come home from Europe, I have to take a negative COVID test 72 hours before my return flight.
Yeah, which is harrowing. I mean, that just takes some of the fun out of a trip, and maybe the Europeans will feel the same way when they get here. There they are running around Chicago having a great time. Now they're ready to go back to wherever, and if they don't pass the test, then do they have to quarantine here?
They do. But the travel industry has been pretty smart about this in the private sector, of giving a lot of hotels and resorts, giving essentially a guarantee to their guests that should they test positive, They'll put them up at their own expense for up to 2 weeks. And that's not a bad deal. Now, if you ask how many people have actually had to utilize that service, you can count them on the fingers of two hands. But the idea that they have that as an option gives them the comfort and the confidence to come in the first place.
You have any idea then where these Europeans are going to go or how much they're going to spend? I mean, will we really see a difference?
Oh, you'll see a big difference because they're not just coming to the United States. They're going to be flying through it. They've been waiting for 18 months to do VFR, right? Visit friends and relatives. And they are going to come. There's no seasonality left. They're not waiting till next summer. They're coming now, which means November, which usually is a very, you know, very light month of travel, with the exception of the Thanksgiving four-day holiday, is going to be crazy between now, not just November, and the end of this year.
I'm reading from the Washington Post, vaccination will not be required for children under the age of 18 to travel to the USA once the ban has been lifted. Now, that's a week old. Is that still the case? Is that still the news on that?
That's still the case if they're traveling with their parents.
With about 2 weeks to go, again, this is dated October 25th, before the USA lifts the travel ban on visitors from 33 countries. Federal health officials offered more specifics for travelers and airlines before restrictions are lifted November 8th. Do you know what the status of the travel is going to be? You'll still have to have a mask on the airplane, right?
Oh, that's not being lifted or even considered being lifted until January 18th, and my guess is, until we have 100% vaccine compliance, or until airlines, buses, or trains say you can't get on without showing proof of vaccination, we will be wearing our masks for quite some time.
What was it like for you traveling 9 hours with a mask on?
Not a problem at all. I've been doing it since we were wearing masks. So I'm used to it by now. Listen, I'm not on the plane for the food, and I'm certainly not on the plane for the rich Corinthian leather. I just want to get from A to B. So you know what? I toughen up, we do it, and then I get to get where I want to go.
Do you see the ill ease in the skies changing, getting better, or is it getting worse? There was an airline attendant who got beat up, actually bones broken last week. I don't know if that's the exception or more common now.
It's not the exception. The only thing that was an exception about it was it wasn't over a mask issue. An overwhelming majority of these incidents, and there are more than 4,300 of them, of unruly, disruptive, or violent passengers happened because of masks or the refusal to wear them. This just happened because the flight attendant actually bumped the passenger, apologized to him, and then got beat up.
So I hope that person went to jail when the plane landed?
Well, more than that, the airlines are quietly moving to get antitrust exemption from the Justice Department so they can get together and come up with an industry-wide no-fly list. Because right now, if I get banned from America, nothing stops you from going and flying Delta or United or Piedmont, if they're still around. They're not. But the point is, they need an industry-wide ban. Otherwise, what effectiveness is there to just ban you from one airline?
Yeah, and it would be in their own interest to do it, right? I mean, maybe the one guy says, well, we'll take more passengers, but you don't want those passengers. It's a bad experience. People don't want to fly your airline if they had a bad incident on it, right?
Well, there are the economic consequences. If you have to divert a plane... we're talking high five-figure amounts for the airline, not to mention the misconnected passengers, misconnected luggage, crews out of sequence, planes out of position. It is an economic disaster to do that. And you do that in interest of, you know, extreme safety issues or an emergency. But this one, you know, you try to avoid.
Peter Greenberg is in London with 25,000 other folks in the travel industry. Well, of course he's there. And I'm really glad to hear what you're saying. Peter, thanks. Have a great trip. We'll be listening for you on Saturday.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
Mr. I on Travel.